Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ. And welcome back, everyone, to another podcast episode. I am David Marks, the host of Bear His Cross podcast, and we're so glad that you're joining us for another podcast episode. We are studying the last days, and I do want to encourage you before you listen to this podcast or any other podcast that may follow this one, which would be episode 14 and on, that you go back and listen to episode 13, which is Before the Last Days. The reason I say that is because as a believer, you need to understand some items that need to be prefaced before we get into what is actually going to take place in the last days. So I just want to encourage you to do so. I also want to encourage you to go to bearhiscross.com where you can join our email newsletter. You can also see our show notes. You can find the references that we used. You can also subscribe via your favorite podcast provider. Now, that being said, the next few series of podcasts that we're going to be doing is going to be discussing events that are going to take place in the last days of earth. I know typically I do podcasts on biblical characters, but I just felt burdened and I just felt led to discuss this with you all as my listening audience. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to go over some of the things that will take place in the last days. To give you a very, very brief review, if you did not listen to podcast 13, I want to remind you of something. We gave evidence that before the last days take place, we as the believers in Christ, those who are saved, those who are part of His kingdom, will be taking out, snatched up is the word that's used there in the Greek. Paul gives us plenty of writings in Thessalonians that we will be taken out, and those that have died will go first, and then we will meet them in the air. So the last days that are coming up will not be something that we experience. However, I did want to give you a picture of what earth and mankind and everything that would be going on in the earth as the last days approach us. So to give you a reference of where we're going to be reading from today, we are actually going to be in Mark, the 13th chapter, starting with the third verse. And what I would like to do here is read the verses and then get into the discussion. So take your Bibles, open them up with me. Of course, I would always encourage you to do so if you can, if you're listening and driving. Of course, please do not do that. But if you are sitting to where you can do this Bible study, then please open your Bible to the book of Mark, the 13th chapter, and we're going to start with the third verse. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And Jesus answered them, began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations." That's important. We are going to get to that, of course, in time. "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So basically what is taking place here is Jesus is spending time with his disciples in the last days before his crucifixion and resurrection on earth, the passion of the Christ. And Mark 13, Jesus is giving a picture of history that is to come. What he is teaching his disciples is prophecy. Those who do not believe that we can have a glimpse of the future and what the future holds are deceived. Jesus paints the canvas of what will be in the future here on earth. These will be the events that are going to take place. Believers should recognize this because it is what we have seen in history. So just keep that in mind. Now, the followers of Jesus were convinced that he was the king that was prophesied about. Disciples believe that a glorious kingdom prophesied in the Old Testament is about to come and it's about to take place. Isaiah 9 states that, quote, the government will be on his shoulders. So Jesus' followers are now waiting on him to take over a secular government of Israel and to become that king. We know that was not what was going to take place. The government would be a spiritual government that would be here, but they were looking, of course, for a Messiah, a Mashiach, that would be a secular, a fleshly ruler here on earth. They wanted Jesus to set up a kingdom. They wanted Israel to be restored. They wanted God's enemies, or Israel's enemies, more importantly, to be destroyed. The Jewish people will be gathered together again into the promised land, and he, Jesus, will rule the world. Righteousness and peace will now rule the earth. Jesus has been validated to be this coming king that they were waiting for, where Israel would be restored. We've seen that in our lifetime or previous lifetimes. And righteousness and peace has not yet been established to rule on the earth because, of course, we know that we still live in this fallen world. There is going to be a world to come that will be built by Jesus. It will be created by Jesus. It will be designed by Jesus, but it's not going to take place until judgment, the last days, and of course the destruction of the world as we know it today. To the followers of Jesus, however, everything was now tracking to take place. They were ready for this at the moment they were living. At this moment, his followers ask him, when will the kingdom come? So they're asking Jesus, when is this kingdom going to come into existence, because we're ready. The disciples expect that after Jesus' resurrection, based off what he has told them about his passion, he would return to put a kingdom in place immediately. But we have to remember, God's timetable is not our timetable. He is outside of the scope of the realm of time. He created time. We are constrained by it. So 1,000 years to man is literally one day to God, and the Bible gives references for that. The disciples are ready for this kingdom to take place, but it's not on God's timetable directly after the resurrection. There are still going to be some things to come, and that's what we are going to be looking at. So the followers of Jesus were ready for the kingdom. They were saying, hey, are these the last days? Are we ready to see you become the crowned king of Israel and for Israel's enemies to be just obliterated and for peace and righteousness to reign? In Mark 13:4, the followers of Jesus here are asking him, when will these things be? They're wanting to know even what signs they can be looking for to make sure that they see these events taking place or coming. Jesus answers them in 5-14. Mark 13:6 describes those who have come before and will again come in the future who call themselves a Messiah. We are going to discuss this in the next podcast when we talk about the Antichrist or Antichrists that have existed. You know, we've seen this take place in many of our lifetimes with such people as Jim Jones and David Koresh. We've seen that in my lifetime. Many today find themselves under the persecution of governmental bodies. Christians in China and in Muslim countries are put to death for their belief in Christ. The events that are taking place that Jesus is describing here in the 6th through the 13th verse are things that we currently see stated. That is why it's important that Jesus tells us these are the beginning. This is the beginning of the woes. This is what's going to take place. These are the last days according to Jesus. Now, no doubt, those of the early church also saw the same persecution from the Roman Empire and other governments that people do today in places like China and Muslim countries. What Jesus is saying about the last days seems to be terrifying to those who may believe in him. Jesus then carries it a step further. I do believe it applies to a world we live in today. In Mark 13:10, Jesus tells us that before the last days will come, the gospel must be published among all nations, and we see this today with the use of digital technology and internet services. There's probably a translation of the Bible in just about every language that exists in the earth today. Now, before the last days, according to Jesus, families will even be split due to belief in him as the Messiah. Father will turn against son, son will turn against father, and brother will turn against brother. It even tells us that children will rise up against the Christian beliefs their parents may have and become a blasphemous generation. The family dynamic will crumble as this takes place, and the destruction of familial norms will be hated in society. Paul even makes a reference to this when saying that they will be lovers of themselves in perilous times that will come. Because Paul even says that children will become children of disobedience. It's unruliness. They want to be disobedient more than they want to follow societal or familiar norms. Now, if you do not believe this is true, look at what is taking place in our society today. Now, granted, I know it wasn't Jesus just talking to, hey, America, this is what's going to happen to you one day. But we see this. If you suggest that marriage is between one man and one woman, you will be scorned online. The woke culture will tell believers that the gospel was written for a time period, but that doesn't apply anymore. And I have literally had someone tell me this before, that the Bible was written, you know, thousands of years ago, and it really doesn't apply today. Furthermore, a generation will not follow biblical science any longer as they accept changes to truths about biology. Okay, so what am I talking about here? You know, there is a growing number in our society that will verbally curse you, and the term we use now is cancel you, if you believe there's only male and female. They want to tell you that there's thousands of genders or what, hundreds of genders, whatever it may be. To teach God created them male and female will no doubt have you shouted down by social warriors and their groups of people across our country. Even many churches and church leaders will shift from biblical truths to satanic doctrines when it comes to family and biological sex. That is why Jesus is saying, they shall deceive many. If you belong to a church that strays outside of what the Bible teaches about biological sex, male and female, or the family structure, then you're falling into that trap. You're being deceived. That's not very kind to hear, I know, but the Bible, while it is truthful, is also sometimes very coarse. It's a hard thing to swallow. And so we have to see that God created them male and female, that He set up the family structure in a particular way. And let me try to lead you to this in just an example. There's also several teachings in a lot of quote-unquote Christian, and I use that term loosely because I don't think they're following the teachings of Christ, but what they call themselves so-called Christian churches, that will tell you that, well, everybody will go to heaven. Everybody will get to go. There's not anybody that's going to go to hell. But that's not biblical. That is clearly not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible is very clear that Jesus said He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. If you say anybody else is the truth, you're lying. If you say anybody else is the way, you're lying, or even a way. We have this whole transcendental light movement where people say that you can find your own inner light and you can be your own God and you can find your own salvation. That's not true. That is a lie. And we, of course, know where lies come from, the father of lies, which is Satan himself. He is a deceiver. I want you to remember something. Satan hates mankind. He hates us. We were created in the image of God. He wanted to be God, and he could not be, of course, because that job was not open. And so, therefore, he grew into hatred for God's creation of man. He, therefore, wants to deceive mankind, to pull mankind into hell with him and all of his followers, all the other demonic angels. So keep in mind that if someone comes to you and says, oh yeah, it's fine, you can believe whatever you want to and still go to heaven, that is a quick pathway to hell. There's no other way to say it. If anyone tells you, and Paul wrote this, that if even an angel from heaven came down and gave a addition or amendable gospel that wasn't following with the gospel of Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world, that was a damnable thing. That was an accursed angel. So just because someone stands in a pulpit and teaches you, oh yeah, you can find your own way to heaven, that's not true. And the important part of that is because when we get into next week's podcast and we talk about the Antichrist, we're going to talk about how Satan tries to counterfeit the gospel, how Satan tries to counterfeit the Savior. And we're going to go into some pretty deep detail. It's probably going to offend some people, but that's okay. The gospel is offensive. But I would rather tell you truth than tell you a lie. That's my responsibility, is to be honest with you. So as we look at our culture and we look at what Jesus was talking about here in Mark 13, we can clearly see before the last day start to come, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the seven-year tribulation. A, I want you to remember, Christians, we're going to be snatched up. We're going to be taken out. Okay? But I also want you to keep in mind that we're going to see some perilous things. But just because you hear of storms in diverse places or earthquakes in diverse places, don't let that make you think that you're troubled. Don't be deceived. God is still in control of all that. It's not the end just yet. Because there will be those who do not accept this new woke gospel. And when they don't accept this new woke gospel, hatred will follow them. And what I mean by that is if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, the woke culture, the woke gospel culture, the new abridged version of Christianity that is standing in a lot of churches, they will hate you for saying Jesus is the way. They will hate you for saying God is in control. I mean, they will literally try to cancel every aspect of your life, even coming after your job. And no, the Bible was not written to be flexible and malleable to our culture. That's not how it works. Yes, I have heard that, as I again will say. Now, according to Jesus, before the last days, all these things will take place. This gives validity to what Jesus teaches and should be an encouragement to believers when they see this take place. No, I don't want to see any destruction of the family culture. I don't want to see any destruction of biological sex because I think it's stupid. But at the same time, let that be encouragement to you because our Savior told us this was going to happen. This gives validity to His words. Not that we need to validate anything Jesus says because He's the Savior. But it should encourage you that when Jesus spoke it, He knew what He was talking about. Christians will be hated among all nations outside of those who believe. The belief in Jesus as a Savior to a world will get you mocked by sometimes both family and foe. Jesus is very clear when He tells us this is going to take place. When we are hated for His sake, we are to endure to the end for our salvation. This simply means, Christians, we are not to surrender what we know to be truth. If you know that Jesus is a Savior and you believe it with all your heart, you've got to take that stand. If you know that God created the family dynamic that says one man, one woman, there's two biological sexes, that God's in control, that we shouldn't live in fear, then take that stand. Because Jesus was, again, very clear. In the 13th verse, He says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for My name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So when you stand on biblical principle, not your own opinion, but biblical principle, anticipate that people will hate you for it. Anticipate that people will try to mock you or scorn you or cancel you or whatever word the woke social crowd likes to use now. They'll try to have you blocked off Facebook or anything else. So just be prepared for that because our Savior told us that would take place. Now, with all of these events taking place, it seems like the last days may be upon us as a society. But Jesus tells us that even with terrible events taking place, like not knowing what biological sex you are and destruction of the family and fighting amongst the family, the last days are not yet here. By using a conjunction in verse 14, Jesus starts to roll out the coming last days. Trouble will escalate before the coming last days, according to our Savior. Now, on the next podcast, the topic of the last Antichrist will be discussed. Now, again, I want to remind you that if you have not listened to the previous podcast before the last days, please do so, because we as believers are promised and we are told, according to our sacred book, the Bible, that we will be snatched up, that we will be taken out of this world, we'll be evacuated out, and we'll be thankful so because the things that the Antichrist is going to bring will be horrific. So please join me for the next podcast where we're going to discuss the Antichrist. We're going to discuss the last Antichrist and, of course, Satan's attempt at trying to make a counterfeit Savior for the world. So please be sure you join me. Follow along at bearhiscross.com. And may God richly bless you in the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com where you can subscribe to our email newsletter or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.